New music with Zan on Double J.
Watching the surface on the Berlin Gap. A few times I nearly packed up my bags.
That is the wonderful sounds of Swimming by Maple Glider. It's a song we've been hearing over the last few months. The artist behind it joins you to walk you through her beautiful debut. We're featuring it all this week. It doesn't come out till Friday. So thank you, Tori, for letting us jump in and share this beautiful music with everyone nice and early. And congratulations on this gorgeous debut record.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so stoked that it's coming out on Friday, and just like unbelievably stoked that it's also being featured on Double J. So thank you so much for having me.
It's a joy to hear it every time. And I believe me when I tell you, whenever I hear your music, I'm just like, whoa, okay, I just need to stop what I'm doing. Like, it's the kind of music that makes you want to just bend your ear closer to the radio and is incredibly, incredibly intimate. I don't really know much about your backstory. So can we like just start very basically at the beginning? Tell me about your childhood, because I've heard that this factors into this record. And yes, we are getting Freudian very early. Sit on the couch. Tell me about your childhood, Tori.
It is relevant. I had a religious upbringing and was part of a religious sect that's quite strict and pretty intense, and you're not really able to spend time with people outside of the religion, like that kind of vibe. So that definitely shaped like a lot of my formative years, I guess. And I left when I was a teenager, and music kind of was such a big part of like even leaving the religion and just my experiences after that. Like, songwriting has played such a huge role in how I've kind of like processed everything and like connected with people and processed those connections. So definitely didn't really think too much about my upbringing for a long time, and sort of disconnected from it for a lot of years because I just didn't want it to be a part of my identity. And then, like, whilst I was writing the album, I was living in Brighton in the UK, away from home and just like away from all of my, you know, closest friends. And I just sort of, it kind of just came like crashing, like all of these, yeah, weird pent up emotions that I had never really expressed before. So there's a lot of that definitely throughout this record.
Did that take you by surprise when the levee broke, when that dam busted open and all of a sudden it was like, whoa, where'd this come from?
Yeah, definitely. It was absolutely like that. I was like in my room, like just I was sharing a bedroom, and it was such a weird experience. I was just like kind of just decided one week that this was going to like come out all at once. And you know, I love the sun, and winter is pretty like intense like every year, let alone like living in England where it's freezing. So I think just like the combination of being in winter and being in a place where I didn't know anyone, and just like, you know, I kind of was like, all right, now's the time. Feel it all.
Feel it all indeed. Why were you in Brighton in the first place? What took you to the UK?
I was traveling for some time before that, and I was also in a relationship with someone who didn't have a visa in Australia. So I wanted to move to a place where I could just sort of settle for a while and write music again, and it was really easy to get a visa. Like, I came home for a month and then applied for the visa and just sort of left. And I basically, it was a Google search. Like, I'd been in India before that, and I was like, places to live. I found Brighton. I was like, oh, that's by the sea. There's a lot of gigs. Like, there's a lot of venues there. Like, has a music scene. Seems pretty cool. Like, and I just kind of went for it. Like,
wow.
I really was not planned out.
But what a great leap of faith, and obviously it reaped rewards. Like, that was where you really started getting into music, wasn't it, in terms of writing stuff? That's where the outpouring began.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just having that stillness after moving around for some time was super helpful for entering into that writing space. And I was definitely pretty in a bit of a, just in a weird sort of headspace that those first like months, especially 6 months or something living there, and had a lot of indoor time just going through things. And because it was winter when I moved as well, it was like quiet, it's pretty quiet. Like there wasn't a lot happening. I guess you had to kind of already be quite ingrained into the community to know where to go. So it was like, okay, I'll ride my bike along the sea and then I'll go to work. I was making coffee and toasting sandwiches, and then I'd come home and I'd be like, I'll see if there's a gig on, or maybe I'll just write some songs. And that was kind of it. But it was really a beautiful time in many ways to just be able to have the freedom and the space to do that as well. Yeah, and I'm so happy with the outcome. Like, this is awesome. I get to release my debut album this week. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful album at that. We're talking to Maple Glider here on Double J. Tori Zeach is the woman behind it. To Enjoy Is The Only Thing is her debut record. We're featuring it all this week. I want to play another song from this record as we feature the feature album with you this morning, Tori. Be Mean, It's Kinder Than Crying. This is so stripped back. Many of these songs are, but it's just so stunning as well. Can you tell me a little bit about the writing and recording of this particular song?
Yeah, I wrote this song for a friend that I hurt some years ago. And I guess sitting in that feeling of like knowing that you've done something to hurt someone is pretty intense. And I guess this song was sort of like reflecting on a period of time where I didn't act in ways that I am proud of, and kind of like wanting to take responsibility for that. But I went in to record it with Tom, and it was actually a song that was much longer. Like it was like double the length. And we tried all of these things, like had drums on it, and I just was like, nah, this isn't the vibe. And then we wrote an extra verse for it, and like I don't know, just sort of shifted into all of these configurations. And then in the end, it just ended up being like, okay, let's cut this verse and just play it kind of exactly as it is, like on guitar, double the vocals. And it just, yeah, it just made sense. And I love now the length of it. I think it's quite perfect for this song, and it says everything it needs to.
It seems I've done a terrible thing. I've loosened the string. Kept us together.
Has your friend heard that song yet?
No.
Do you know if they've heard it?
I mean, I think they haven't heard it. But they may have heard it. They may have just heard it then.
Well, I guess the album's not out yet, is it?
No, it's not out yet. No, I did mention to them a while ago that I had written this song, and we haven't had contact for a few years. So yeah, that brings up a good point. I should send it.
Just send them this interview.
By the way,
I mean, this is like, I'm glad I asked the question, because it's, you know, Tori, these are really intense songs, and I know that you're figuring out a way to get through these stories, and I'm sure learning a lot about yourself. But yeah, I'm always curious when it comes to songwriters, how you feel, whether it's even something that you think of, you know, in that quest to get it out of your system, about how it's going to be received on the other end, particularly when it comes to the people whom it's about, which can always remain a mystery. But yeah, it's kind of intense, isn't it? Like opening up your diary for everybody to listen to or to read.
It's huge. And I think prior to this, it was quite easy to play these songs in a live setting, because you to a degree control like who you're playing it for and the environment that you're playing it in. Like I could go to a venue and be like, okay, I feel okay playing this song tonight, and I trust it in this space. And then you go and you record all of these songs that are really significant to you, and you know, I guess represent a lot of a lot of things that you've had to work through over time, and intimate details that feature heaps of people that you've had, you know, these close and beautiful or, you know, difficult relationships over time. And then, like, you begin by sharing them with people who help you release them into the world, such as yourself. And then, like, they're just out there, and anyone can listen to them if they have access, and you can't really control, like, what happens after that. So that, for me, is something that I am, like, adjusting to now as someone who hasn't ever released an album before, and certainly not any music that is this personal to me. But at the same time, it's been really beautiful to connect with new people in this way, because I would have never been able to predict that it would have an impact on, you know, other people, even in small ways. Like, I've just had such beautiful interactions with people, even at, like, the first show that I played recently with the band. It was just, like, it was mind-blowing. I was like, this is such a beautiful space to be a part of. And I feel, you know, lucky that I am able to share these songs and have all of these beautiful people be a part of that experience with me. So,
when did you actually record it? I'm curious, because, as you said, you just recently played your first show in Melbourne, and up until this point, I'd never seen Maple Glider out there, like you say, playing lots of gigs and stuff. It feels like this is very much an album that's come out of a, you know, a literal lockdown, like last year's kind of quiet, and now it's emerging into the light. When did it all happen?
Yeah, it happened. I recorded it with Tom Janzek in lockdown, in our first lockdown in Melbourne. So, we had planned to record it like late 2019, and I was not sure whether it would go ahead. Like, in March 2020, I was like, well, I don't know if we can do this. But Tom was generous enough to be like, you know, I'll play on the record, and his performances are such an integral part of the record as well. Like, his voice and his, you know, he played keys and piano and bass, and it was so nice to kind of like just go deep into the songs with one other person. And then we did have Jim Reinflesch as well, who came and played drums, and that was just so nice, like having another energy there, and like just elevated like the whole album. I was like, ah, so excited at that point. But yeah, you're right. It definitely, it did come out of a lockdown. Like, and then I've just been kind of, I guess we've all been quietly working on it for the past year, building up to this like moment. So yeah, it feels pretty surreal.
Tom's an amazing musician. For those who don't know that name off the top of your head, he's, of course, one half of Big Scary. He's Number One Dads. He runs the Pie Eater label, which you call home. Given the intimate and intense nature of so many of these songs, what was it like to share that with somebody else?
At first, I was nervous, really, really nervous. Like, leading up to it, I was doing these, like, performance anxiety meditations. Like, on my way to the studio, I was Googling, like, I was like, I need to calm down. When I got in there, it just kind of like a lot of my apprehension and anxiety was sort of like just eased because of the kind of person that Tom is. And he just made me feel extremely comfortable and listened to. And it's just like, I don't know, I think we really like aligned creatively with like where we wanted to go with the album, and every moment he was sort of checking in and being like, is this right, does this feel right, which, you know, I really appreciate as someone who, you know, hasn't recorded an album with someone before. It could have easily been so different. That was really special to experience. And then it was just like, on top of that, really fun, because we could be, you know, after a bit of time getting to know each other, just be silly and like play around, and like, yeah, I really enjoyed the experience of making the album.
Well, it sounds beautiful. He is an incredible person to work with, a producer as well. And the record that we're talking about is the one that we are featuring, shining a big spotlight on all this week, from Maple Glider. To Enjoy Is the Only Thing comes out this Friday. Everybody's going to hear it. Get ready for it, Tori. Get ready for those texts, the slide into the DMs. Is this song about me? I feel like that's going to be happening over the next week or so for you. And with that in mind, I wanted to play one more tune from the record because it is called Friend. This is a song that is another highlight. There's a particular line that really sticks out to me. Don't wear that dress. We have to think about who we are now. I'm so curious about this song, Friend. What can you tell me about it, if you feel comfortable sharing?
I wrote this about a really good friend of mine, an old friend of mine whom I've known since I was a teenager. We've played music together for a lot of years and very much were a part of like my first experiences, I guess, in the music industry or just, you know, as a songwriter and as a performer. And I think there was a period of time where we both were just like in really different, we were collaborating, but we were in such different spaces in terms of like what we were trying to achieve and what our goals were and what our intentions were. And it really had an impact on our friendship. And we both, I think, didn't handle everything in the best way, in the best ways. But through that experience, we learned a lot and our friendship developed a heap. And it's been a beautiful journey of like looking after ourselves and one another. And also, I think, has made me more certain in the kind of like spaces that I want to be as a musician and as a woman in the music industry as well. So yeah, it's been important experience for me to have, and I'm always grateful for that time that we've spent together making music.
Do you feel as though these songs that you're writing help you make sense of the world, that you work out the lessons that you've learned maybe through writing the songs?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that that's like why I keep coming to music, because it does that for me personally. It does so much for me personally. I kind of go a bit loopy if I don't write songs. I think it's very easily to get really wrapped up in just the chaos of everything and not really connect with your feelings or like grow and develop. And writing for me is a way that I can start to connect more with my experiences and try to learn from them.
You were so fast to believe in me. We were young back then, tangled in the stars. But time moves so fast. I've served
New music with Zan on Double J.